The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Today on Grace in Focus, discussing 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4, God wanting all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Simple in concept, difficult for some to receive. Why is this? Let's talk about it today on Grace in Focus, this radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Welcome. Find out more about us and our focused free grace position at faithalone.org. You can also follow us on our YouTube channel. We have short videos we release two or three times a week, and you can find us at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. That's our channel. YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. Now with the discussion of the day, here's Bob Wilkin along with Sam Marr.
All right, I'm back with Sam, and I think you have a question. Well, actually, two good questions from Hunter, and they're related.
Yeah, it's kind of two-part. This question is, if God wants everyone to be saved, why wouldn't he make it extremely easy to believe in him? And why doesn't he reveal himself more so that people can see him before it's too late? And I would have to think that they would have believed if they had seen a miracle or something.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good question, and I wrote a blog on this too, so you can go to faithalone.org and check out our blogs. But basically, Hunter is alluding to 1 Timothy 2:4. That's where it says, starting in verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So God desires all to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. And I would say that the saving here does not refer to salvation from God's wrath. That's what I would expect in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, where the theme is the coming tribulation and wrath in this life. But here, I think this is salvation from eternal condemnation. And he's saying that's what God wishes for all. And by the way, you know, Calvinists say whatever God wishes, that's what happens. So they see the all men here referring to the elect, and that all of the elect are going to be saved. The truth is God wishes all to be saved, but he also gives people freedom to either accept or reject the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe or not to believe. We know from John 1, 11, and 12 that most of the nation of Israel did not believe in him. Some did, and those who did were born of God and became children of God, and they were born again. And so here, Hunter's questions are, number one, why doesn't he make it, does he use the word extremely easy?
Yeah, why doesn't he make it extremely easy to believe in him?
My suggestion is he does and he doesn't. I mean, all it requires is to believe, that is to be persuaded that what Jesus said in John 3:16 is true. In other words, that the one who believes in him is not going to perish, but has everlasting life. It's really that simple. Am I persuaded that's true? The reason why it can be difficult for people is, let's say you grow up in a tradition, like, for example, you grow up in a Mormon family. Well, the Mormon family is going to teach you that in order to get into Christ's kingdom, you've got to be faithful. You do need to believe some things, and there are some doctrines they would say you need to believe, you need to be persuaded of, but they would say that true faith includes surrender to Christ and obedience to Christ and following Christ. I remember I talked to two Mormon missionaries, came to my door one time, and so I said, so what does a person need to do to get into Christ's kingdom? And they said, well, they need to be faithful, they need to follow Christ. And I said, so what happens if someone believes in Christ and then they fall away? Well, he said, I'm not God, but I believe they'd go to hell. And so I was like, so it's not just believing, it's also obeying. And he was like, yeah, that's right. That's not just a Mormon position, by the way. There's a lot of people within Protestantism that would say the same basic thing, whether it's work salvation or lordship salvation. Well, if you grow up in a family like that, it's not real easy then to believe the message of John 3:16. Not because God made anything difficult. It's because for generations, people have rejected the simple message, And if you come out of a tradition like that, it's difficult. It could even be more difficult. Let's say you come out of an atheist family. Not only do you not believe in the free gift of everlasting life, but now you don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. You don't believe he died on the cross for our sins. You don't believe he rose bodily from the dead. You don't believe God exists. You don't believe in life after death. So there's a lot of things that as an atheist, you don't believe. So a lot of it has to do with what's your background. But the good news is, like Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, or Romans chapter 1, that God has revealed himself in the creation so that they were without excuse. John 16, verses 7 to 11, about the Holy Spirit convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's clear God is drawing all, and as a result, all can come to faith, and it is really easy on the one hand. But on the other hand, I think we have to acknowledge that it's harder for some than for others.
Like with the atheist thing, I think it might even be easier for an atheist to believe than someone who has false doctrine or misunderstood doctrine already ingrained in them, because they at least don't even have a starting point to cloud it.
So. You know, there's a lot of truth in that. I find sometimes that when I talk to someone with no Christian background, there's not a lot of faulty teaching that needs to be undone. But yeah, when a person comes from a really bad Christian background where there's lots of false teaching, it's difficult. But in answer to Hunter's first question, why doesn't God make it exceedingly easy? I think he does. That's why some people in evangelicalism call what we're saying easy believism. They call it easy because they think it's too easy. They think it's quote-unquote cheap grace. It's not cheap. It's free. We pay zero. Jesus paid it all. And that's hard for some people to wrap their minds around, but not because God's not drawing them.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones. Great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
Now let's talk about the second part of this. What was the second part of the question?
Why doesn't he reveal himself more so that people can see him before it's too late? And then he says, I would have thought more people would have believed if they had seen a miracle or something.
I don't have a scripture that confirms this, so I'm speculating here, but I agree with Hunter. I think if the Lord Jesus Christ returned in every generation and he went around the world and talked to every people group and every nation, he was, let's say in our day, he was on the news for, let's say, 2 years, and he was raising the dead and healing the sick and he was teaching, etc., I think he would probably lead everyone to faith in Christ. Let's say he never left. He just stayed on earth and then kept evangelizing people after he rose from the dead. So it's not just Saul on the road to Damascus. He's here in every generation and he's doing widespread miracles. I can't prove it, but I think probably most everybody, if not everybody. And here's another thing. We know during the millennium, Satan's going to be bound, right? He'll be bound for that whole 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if God can do it then, couldn't he bind Satan now? And if he did, wouldn't that make it easier to believe? Because according to Luke 8:12, he snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be saved.
I'll give a little bit of pushback on this because I was thinking of it a whole other way.
All right.
Jesus did come to earth and he did perform lots of miracles
right, for
his people, and his people killed him because they didn't believe in him.
Okay.
So then what would your argument be for that? He might come to every generation. Is every generation going to kill him because they don't like what he's teaching? When he came to the Gentiles, they were pretty receptive. He came to the Jews and they said, this isn't the one we're looking for. We're going to wait for the next one. Let's get this guy out of here. So that's the way I think of it, is he did use miracles and people still didn't believe. The Israelites in the desert saw Moses with a glowing face turn sticks into snakes, all kinds of crazy stuff, And then 5 minutes later, they're making idols and forsaking.
Okay. Now, of course, Jesus didn't come for Gentiles, and he had very little contact with Gentiles, but he did. He went to Decapolis, and he had some ministry among Gentiles. And remember, there were Gentiles that say, we want to see Jesus. Mm-hmm. So he did have some contact with Gentiles. And, of course, the Samaritan woman, she wasn't a Gentile, but she was half Gentile, half Jew. And so you have John 4. And I agree, they were more open than the Jewish people. And no, of course, if he came back in every generation, he couldn't be killed again, and he wouldn't allow that. But you make a good point. It's possible that my speculation is wrong. Maybe even if he did all kinds of miracles, etc., and even with Satan bound, that a lot of people would still not believe. But I do think that Hunter's right. A much higher percentage would believe if Jesus was doing this. And this is part of the charismatic argument, right? The signs and wonders movement. Well, obviously God wants to keep doing the signs and wonders he did in the apostolic era. Not only did Jesus do all these signs and wonders, but the apostles did too. And so they say, why not keep that up? Well, the answer is, and this is coming back to your pushback, God's given us all we need.
Mm-hmm.
We have plenty. We don't need more. Even if more would lead more people to faith in Christ, God has given us the best of all possible worlds. It's wrong for us to say God somehow shortchanged us. He didn't. He's given us everything we need to come to faith, and then as believers, all we need pertaining to life and godliness. So, you know, even if it's possible that if more happened, more people would come to faith, that's not God's plan. God's yeah. given us enough, and God doesn't want to basically force people into the kingdom.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's all speculation now, but if you ran the numbers, how many people were saved, signs and miracles versus the Bible, I think the Bible would win. And they didn't have the Bible at that. They didn't have the complete work of the Old and New Testament together in one book. We take that for granted.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many people has just the Word of God itself led to believe? I think it's out of the question it's more people than just signs and wonders in that present time.
Okay, that's a good point. And ultimately, we have the issue of what was the purpose of the signs and wonders. It was to get people to believe the Word,
mm-hmm.
not to believe the signs and wonders. The signs and wonders get people to believe the promise of eternal life.
Right.
And so, yes, we have those signs and wonders recorded in Scripture. And we read them and we tell people about them and we say, see, this proves that Jesus is the one who guarantees everlasting life. Well, we're out of time, but thanks so much, y'all, for listening. I hope you found this interesting. And remember to keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus, by emailing your name and snail mail address to GES@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that at faithalone.org. And on our next episode, what about the title pastor? And does illness prove disobedience? Hope you will join us. Until then, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.